The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter.
There is no bigger honor than to go into the professional Hall of Fame or college Hall of Fame.
Each week, the Big E Sports Show will take you under the helmet to bring you the latest talk on the 2009 season of college and pro football.
Is there maximum effort out there? Because that's one thing. You don't have to be talented at. You don't need talent to try hard. And that's the thing that I'm looking for out of him this year.
Under the Helmet with Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show, and it is officially here, the start of the 2010 college football season, and we are certainly looking forward to taking it all in, all the action, all the games this weekend. We are also thrilled to have back with us for another season, three-time national champ at the University of Nebraska. He is truly one of the all-time greats, a former NFL player, our very own Jason Peter. Jason, it's great to have you back. You're no longer a freshman on our show, but you're a seasoned sophomore. I said, we can't redshirt Jason Peter. We've got to have you back.
Well, I'm glad to be back. How was the off season?
Well, we certainly missed having you, but the dog days of summer, thank God it's over with because we've had rain in Fort Worth, and it's kind of nice to have a little bit of a change up.
Yeah, we've got some rain here, too, up in Lincoln, but it's a nice break from the heat. It was brutal out here for about a month, 95. I don't even want to talk about weather when I'm talking to somebody down in Texas, because 95 is probably a cool day for you guys.
Well, you know, I'm a West Coast girl, so I'm used to like that dry heat, you know, growing up in Montana. And so this humidity, it just, you know, it's relentless after a while and you're ready to kind of change the pace. But let me go ahead and change the pace on our program. Let's talk about, instead of right now, the glorious college football season that is just around the corner, but talk about your celebrity golf tournament that you have coming up in the month of October. It's the first year, and many of our listeners, we've not had a chance to talk to you about that. Get us caught up on that, Jason.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. It's the week of the Texas game, which you couldn't ask for a bigger game where there's more excitement, I think, leading up to the game. It's October 14th and 15th, and it's for the charity Junior Achievement. And for people that don't know what they do, it's, I guess the best way that I could compare it to when I was growing up and going to elementary school is kind of that Future Business Leaders of America, where you're giving kids opportunity outside of their regular school days to learn about entrepreneurship and business and everything from financial, managing money. It's shocking when you go into the NFL how many guys don't even know how to write a check, I mean, let alone manage millions of dollars. But I think when I was looking at what all my buddies do in terms of charity, so much of it sometimes is directed towards athletic programs, extra athletic practices or whatever it may be, and that's great because kids need that as well. But I just thought this was maybe a nice change of pace, and the reality is most kids are not going to play sports for a living. Most are going to have to go out into the quote real world and get a job. So I feel real passionate about it, and I'm excited. It's going to be a great 2 days followed with the Texas game, but got a bunch of guys coming back, kind of a Husker legends, as well as some other non-sport guys. Clayton Anderson, for all those that are astronaut people.
Yes.
He's Nebraska's kind of favorite son there, and he'll be taking part in the festivities. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's amazing. Of course, it's titled Jason Peter, all four, the Junior Achievement. And you have been able to assemble just an outstanding lineup, as you'd mentioned Clayton Anderson, but special guests, Tom Osborne, Doc Sadler, Charlie McBride. You know, this is going to be in many ways a homecoming of sorts, and perhaps provide a little bit of extra momentum going into that Texas game. I'm a little nervous about us driving up and having Texas license plates.
Yeah, well, You can be guaranteed, all right? I am putting it out there. Nothing will happen to you or your car. I can't make guarantees for everybody else, but I will make sure that nothing happens to you. No, yeah, we've got a great group, like you mentioned, Tom Osborne and Doc Sadler and Heisman Trophy winners, Eric Crouch, Mike Rozier, Grant Wistrom, Outland Trophy winners, Aaron Taylor, Zach Wiegert. The list just kind of goes on. And, yeah, for anybody that's interested, we certainly, if Texas people are coming up and they're looking for a day of golf as well and to experience a little bit of that Husker Husker Mania, you're more than welcome. There's the website is www.jp4, that's F-O-R-E, J-A.com.
Okay, but only one caveat, no talking smack or anything out on the golf course, right?
No, never.
Hey, Jason Peters along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We are so delighted to welcome back. It is his second season with us with our Under the Helmet segment. Each week he will be joining us. Of course, we know him so well. Three-time national champ, 94, 95, and 97. This is such a special time of year, Jason. Do you start kind of missing it again when they get ready to line it up out there on the gridiron?
I really do. I was outside the other day just doing some yard work, and there was that smell in the air. And I don't know what it is, but it goes all the way back to when I was in high school. There was something about it. You could just kind of smell that football in the air. It was a certain time of the year, and it's right here. I mean, you know, nowadays it's a little different. It's almost like college football season is the entire year. With, you know, all the things that go on in the so-called off season with recruiting, and now just the way that everybody can kind of stay active with the message boards and the bloggers and all of that stuff, I think makes for a college football season that lasts 365 days a year. And you know, that's different than 10, 15 years ago when you really had to wait, you know, 6 months until that next opening day. And you know, it really just adds to, I think, how big college football has gotten over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Of course, I mentioned, you know, 94, 95, and 97. I mean, I'm sure you reflect back now and just think how blessed you are to have been a three-time national champ. I mean, do you have a greater sense of appreciation of what you and your teammates were able to accomplish? I mean, that is so huge.
Without question. When we were going through it, it's just, you're just looking forward to the next game, and one national title wasn't enough, and then, you know, we expected to win the second one, and it was a major disappointment when we didn't win the third one in 96, and then finally leaving with another national championship in 97. But I think for myself, and I think for a lot of my teammates, really what put everything in perspective, I think, were the years under Bill Callahan when, you know, Nebraska football was probably at an all-time low, just in not just in terms of results, but in terms of spirit, in terms of the community wanting to be involved and, you know, hanging their flags out front in the front yard. I mean, there were people that would hang their flags upside down, almost as like a sign of distress. I mean, that's how bad it has gotten in Lincoln, Nebraska, and really the entire state. And now it's, you walk outside, doesn't matter what time of the year, everybody's got their Nebraska football T-shirt on. Everybody's got something, some sort of clothing item on, and all they want to do is talk about Nebraska football. And it's a great thing. I mean, that's why I chose to come to this school, was because the passion that these fans have for the program.
And of course, Bo Pelini is entering into his third season, 20-8 overall, but coming off a 10-4 record, 6-2 in the Big 12, and defeated Arizona 33-0 in the Holiday Bowl. So obviously a lot of momentum and expectation coming into this season. But I do want to ask you, you know, we've really not had a chance to visit about this throughout the summer, but such big news in the offseason with the realignment of the Big 12. Can you kind of, Jason, give us a sense of the Husker fans, kind of their pulse there? I mean, how do they feel about going to the Big 10? I know, you know, it seems like the University of Nebraska is excited about it, but what were the fans? What was their reaction?
I think for the most part, people are excited. You have kind of your old school fans that maybe don't look at the big picture. They're still kind of, wishing that they were in the Big Eight conference when it was just Nebraska and Colorado and Oklahoma, and those were kind of your big three. So anytime you have change, I think you're going to ruffle some feathers. And to say that this transition has gone without controversy or people critiquing the move that Coach Osborne made, I mean, that would be a lie. But I think for the most part, people are excited. People, I think, started to feel like the Big 12 conference was just focused towards the southern schools, and in particular Texas and Oklahoma and maybe Texas A&M. And part of it, I guess you could say, yeah, that was true, but also part of it is, and like any good, I think, manager or CEO of a company, and I'm talking about Dan Beebe, and he certainly is going to get critiqued and criticized, but whenever you have something good going, I mean, usually that's what you're going to ride. And when you look at Nebraska football over the years, especially kind of post that 1997 season, up until just a year or two ago, Nebraska really wasn't a dominant school. I mean, we played for one national championship, and that went with a lot of controversy when we lost to Colorado in that last Big 12 game and championship game, and they still got to play Miami in the national championship, but that was the last time they got to play in a game of that magnitude. So I just think for Dan Beebe, I do understand kind of where he was at, but I also do understand that you're talking about Nebraska football here, and every major university with national titles under their belt goes through their ups and downs. I mean, nobody stays at the top forever. And I guess that was the upsetting thing, was maybe to see that since Nebraska maybe wasn't finishing in the top five year after year, that maybe it seemed like we kind of took a back door to some of those southern schools. And you know, Nebraska should never take a back door to anybody.
It is our second season of our Under the Helmet segment with Husker great Jason Peter. And I have to ask you, I mean, I'm kind of an old school gal. I was a product of the Big Eight conference, very proud of that. But, you know, what's going to happen to the rivalry between Oklahoma and Nebraska? I mean, I do see where some of those guys are coming from. I mean, we're going to miss it.
Yeah, but Alyssa, this is the thing. The Big 12 said goodbye to that when they formed the Big 12. If this game was still intact, if Nebraska-Oklahoma was still an annual game, Nebraska would be in the Big 12 right now. They would be in the Big 12. Coach Osborne or Nebraska would not have turned their back on Oklahoma like that. That's how much respect there is for those two schools. But when the Big 12 was formed, the powers that be said the game that we're concerned about is Oklahoma-Texas. Nebraska-Oklahoma, sorry, this is not going to be the game that we're going to hang our hat on. And that was a sign, I think, of things to come. And it's a shame because it was one of the greatest games, not just in college football, in all of sports. And that respect that I mentioned, I mean, you don't find that in a lot of rivalry games. I mean, a lot of times there's a hatred, and I think that's what made that game so unique. I mean, for 60 minutes, guys that were wearing different uniforms wanted to kill each other. But at the end of the game, when that final whistle blew, there was a great respect for the guys that you just went to battle with, and as well as the head coaches and the entire coaching staffs. So it was a shame to see that go. So, you know, it's something that people talk about now with Nebraska going to the Big Ten, about Nebraska's leaving Nebraska-Oklahoma. No, the Big 12 left Nebraska-Oklahoma back in 1996 when they formed this conference.
Okay, so you guys are heading to the Big Ten conference. What excites you the most about this particular move? Or do you feel a little even melancholy as far as, I mean, so many great Husker memories right here, though, in the Big 8, the Big 12?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to miss making trips maybe down to Ames or Lubbock. You know, going out to Camp Randall and going out to the Big House and the Horseshoe and some of those places, it's going to be fun. I mean, these are programs with a ton of tradition. Am I going to miss going to Norman every other year? Yeah, I am. I mean, that was, like we just talked about, one of the great games in sports. Will I miss the rivalry between Nebraska and Colorado and the hatred side of a rivalry? Yeah, I'll miss that. But at the same time, I'm looking forward to Nebraska playing Iowa and Nebraska playing Michigan and Nebraska playing Penn State and Wisconsin and Michigan State. So there are a lot of exciting games, I think, on the horizon for Nebraska.
Well, let's talk some Nebraska football. The 2010 season, obviously a lot of the conversation, we've even heard it down here in Texas, is who will solidify that position as the starting quarterback?
Well, I think a lot of people are thinking Zach Lee. And this is one that I don't know if I have the right answer for you. I don't know if Bo knows who's going to be the starting quarterback, because let's face it, I mean, we're playing Western Kentucky here. They've lost 20 straight games coming into this game. The reality is the starting quarterback does not really play a huge role until September 18th when Nebraska goes out to Seattle and plays the University of Washington. You should be able to beat Western Kentucky and Idaho with either you or I at quarterback. You should be able to hand the ball off and run the ball down their throat and come out with a victory. And I think he's going to use these first two games, I hope, as a time to put these quarterbacks to the test, because they're in training camp. You know, most of these guys now, they have the green jerseys on, and you can't touch them, you can't hit them, and these are things that you don't know until you get out there on game day. Can the guy, does he get up and does he keep fighting after he just got ear-holed two or three times in a row? I mean, what is it like when you actually have live blitzes coming at you? Not when you're sitting there in practice and yeah, you can recognize that, hey, the defense is going to run a blitz this play, and I got to look out for 23 and I got to look out for 45. But in the back of my mind, I know that even if they get through, they're not going to hit me. But on Saturday, yeah, these guys are going to be trying to take your head off. And Zach Lee, I mean, you mentioned it, started off the show, the impressive performance against Arizona in the Holiday Bowl. Unfortunately, you don't get 28 or 30 days to prepare for each and every game. You got 6 days to get ready for that next battle. And, you know, the guy that I like, I mentioned it before, is the redshirt freshman, Taylor Martinez. I know that the most popular guy on the team is always the backup quarterback, and that goes pretty much for every team across the country. But I think for myself, and knowing what Nebraska has tried to do over the years under Sean Watson as offensive coordinator, is be this very multiple type offense. But the multiple kind of tends to lean on the passing game, and for me, I would much rather lean on the running game. I think there's nothing more that breaks the spirit of a defense than when an offense can just take the ball and pound it right down their throat, and they have no answer for how to stop it. I think when a team is always throwing the ball, I think, you know, there's so many more things that can go wrong over the course of a pass play than a run play. And I think when you look at the guy who brings maybe more of that edge in the running game, it's Taylor Martinez. I mean, if Zach Lee was just a great thrower, I would say, all right, let's run the offense the way Sean Watson wants under Zach Lee. But for me, he's kind of, you know, he's not the best thrower. He's not the best runner. He's not very creative. I don't know if he's got a great football sense as when to run and when to stay in the pocket. I think with Taylor Martinez, sometimes you'll get those freshman mistakes, but those freshman mistakes, for a guy that's athletic, what's the worst thing that can happen? He tucks the ball and run. That's his strong suit, so let's just run with that. But I think you're going to see all three quarterbacks. Cody Green is the other one from Denton, Texas, and he's now a sophomore. He had a rough series or two against Oklahoma in the game last year here in Lincoln,
right.
And they pulled him pretty quick. He was like a deer in headlights. So you just never know what you're going to get until you kind of throw the guy into the fire.
Well, certainly we'll keep our eye on Taylor Martinez. What do we know about him? Where's he from?
He's a California kid, and they recruited him actually as kind of a utility guy. Last year he was helping out running some wide receiver. They didn't know if they were going to play him at maybe safety or if they were going to give him a shot at quarterback. And, you know, I think a lot of it had to do with, well, what are we trying to do offensively? You know, are we trying to throw the ball all over the place, kind of that Bill Callahan type offense? Because if that's the case, then he probably doesn't fit. But I think Bo know what he wants to do. I think he's hoping that Sean Watson at some point is going to get that, and he's going to put a game plan together that Bo kind of likes. I mean, ultimately, the only thing that matters is that they win. But when you look at last year, Nebraska's defense is going to be fine. They were fine last year. They're going to be fine this year. The thing that Bo doesn't want is for that defense to be constantly out there on the field, whether it's because of a turnover, whether it's because they can't get a first down. You've got to give his guys a little bit of time to get their legs back. And I think for Bo, looking at this offense, he's basically saying, geez, just eat some clock up, you know, get a score, put the ball in the end zone once, we'll get a couple field goals, 13, 14 points, maybe 17 points, that's enough. Because my defense is going to hold them to 10 or fewer points. And I think it's sad to think like that, but I think that at this point, going through what he went through the last 2 years, I think that's all he's asking for.
He's back. Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. You can also go to Jason's website, jasonpeter.com. Some great merchandise on there. You can go out and get a copy. Hero of the Underground, his book, New York Times bestseller. Jason, the topic you always love to talk about, that is defense, and you had just mentioned that briefly. What about the impact of losing perhaps the most decorated defensive player in Nebraska history?
Yeah, a lot of people are making a big deal about it, and for me, it's not that big of a deal. It really isn't. You just got to kind of reload. If you look at it like you're losing one of the great ones, then, I mean, are you going to take that approach every year? I mean, you know, you look at some of the players that they have on this defense, and for me, the strongest part of the defense last year was the secondary. Now, the defensive line certainly did their work, but you go back and you watch the game film, half of Nebraska's sacks and the pressures and the quarterback hits were because the secondary did such a tremendous job covering the receivers, nobody had anywhere to throw the ball. And at some point, you know, protection's going to break down. Offensive linemen can't see behind them. They don't know exactly where that quarterback is scrambling to. And, you know, like every offensive line, if the quarterback doesn't get rid of it in, you know, 2.2 seconds, at some point someone's going to lose their guy, and he's either going to get hit or he's going to get sacked. But he was a great player, you know, no question about that. But, you know, I look at it as, you know, back in 1997, when it was my senior year, you had two All-American, first-team All-Americans, two top 15 draft picks on the same defensive line, and myself and Grant Wistrom.
Yeah.
And life goes on. You put the next guy in, and Nebraska's defense, you know, continued to flourish back in the late 90s. And to say, or to think that one guy would have that much of an impact, I have a hard time believing that, especially when you look at college football today, because so much of it is just is throwing the ball. It's starting to turn. The pendulum's starting to swing back towards that physical style of football, similar to what Alabama's doing, what Florida does with their spread offense. It's still a very physical. I don't know how it will be this year with Brantley running the show, but under Tim Tebow, it was still a very physical type thing. And I think you're starting to see that swing back towards that style of football. But up to this point, it's been a very passive college football. I mean, everybody's throwing the ball all over. And, you know, you never really got tested in the middle. You never really got tested up front with the defensive line. Even when you played against throwing teams back in the day, they were still going to come in and they were still going to test you on the run. You were going to have to shut down the run first before you even thought about rushing the quarterback. Whereas, you know, now you got schools like Texas Tech and you know, under Mike Leach, no longer obviously, but schools that come in, Oklahoma has done so much throwing the ball lately, that I think it really changes, or it opens up so many things to what defensive tackles could do. I don't think a defensive tackle could have the same type of year statistically as Sue had, 15 years ago. I just don't think it's possible. But look, Jared Crick is a preseason All-American. They've
right.
got a Steinkuhler that's coming up, and all we've heard is that this defense is going to be better than last year.
Okay, I got to ask you, did you have a chance? Was it close practice? I mean, could anybody go out to some of the fall camps and check out some of the guys? We've always heard that, you know, Coach Bellini, that he shuts things down.
Yeah, he shut it down, but all I'll say was I went down to practice the other day and nobody asked me to leave. I think, you know, there were some things that happened regarding one of the linebackers that was injured, Sean Fisher, and it kind of seemed like maybe his family was finding out about the injury through the media rather than Bo having the chance to call his family and tell him, it stinks in one way, but also you got to understand this is the day that we live in, the time that we live in. It's the internet and people, and that's the way things are.
Jason Peters with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We are zeroing in and talking about his favorite team. That's right, his Nebraska Cornhuskers. And Jason, tell us a little bit about, as far as if you look at Nebraska's schedule, you got to like how it kind of lines up. I mean, you guys have a soft schedule early on and a nice segue into that October 16th weekend against Texas.
Yeah, I don't think there's a team on the schedule that Nebraska can't beat. They're getting a lot of preseason hype, but this is the thing now. Nebraska is not just another school on the schedule for other teams like they have been in the last 10 years. Now you're talking about Nebraska that is preseason 7 in one poll, preseason 9 in the other. You're talking about Nebraska that supposedly broke up the Big 12 conference. So there's a bullseye now. There is a major bullseye on your back. And, you know, last year some of the problems, I think, with the team were that they couldn't put the consistency together. They couldn't put win after win after win after win and know how to finish. I mean, you look at that Texas game, and everybody points to that last play with 0.1 second. No, that's not where you lost it. I mean, you had, you know, 59 minutes and 59 seconds to take care of business in that game, and you didn't get it done. Was the last play magnified? Yeah, it was. But you got to know how to close. You can't lose to Iowa State at home and cough the ball up 8 or 9 times, whatever it was. You got to take care of the little things. You got to be able to turn around and get ready for the next game in 6 days. So it will be interesting to see how much this team has grown from last year, just in terms of experience and knowing how to handle your business week after week after week. But yeah, I mean, this is a schedule that is very favorable, I think, for Nebraska. Like I said, I think they can beat every team on the schedule. Whether they do it, that's a whole other question.
We'll have to wait and see. Always great analysis, great commentary by Jason Peter. Jason, thanks so much, and we really are excited to have you on board again for another season.
I'm excited, Alyssa.
Absolutely. We're going to step aside. Joey Lucci is going to be joining us with Phil Steele Magazine and philsteele.com. Come on back.